welcome to the North Platte session of the Nebraska Court of Appeals. We're pleased to be in Greater Nebraska this week, and we are appreciative of the district court judges who have allowed us to use their facilities. My name is Frankie Moore, and I do reside here in North Platte. To my right is Judge Dave Arterburn from Sicilian, and to my left is our newest judge, Larry Welch, from Beaver Lake. We have three cases this morning. We'll start, the first case is Skalski versus Skalski. You may approach. Ms. Fair, I'm here.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning.
Good morning. Morning to you all. I don't believe that I'm coming on saving any time at the end. This is basically straightforward matters, so I will turn my decision. So, as you know, this is a family law case. Like many others, it is very rich with stories and people's perceptions. It's also a case about credibility. So, like everybody who comes and who coaching kids on their stories, we have one side of the case telling their story and the other side telling theirs. And in this particular instance, we had a full day on a modification day. The other side of it presented information about they were there to modify the online piece. But we were there to try to establish, of course, that things have changed since the course. That the children had a significantly deteriorated relationship with their mother. And the one thing that had really changed in that period of time was that they had been placed at their home. I know that when I talk about being rich in story and detail, my brief was pretty thorough trying to spell out how much the behaviors of the children had changed, how much there seemed to be an emotional breakdown, especially with the older child. And I understand that the other side argues that the oldest child had a tough relationship with her mom prior to the divorce, but she was going on visits, they were having communication, there was something there. After the divorce, and within months, she stopped going for visits. She established a pattern for the family where the middle child then stopped going to visit. And quite frankly, it looked as though he had to find convenient times to spend time with mom that did not involve telling dad or telling her sister. And what I wanted the court to know is that breakdown was not interrupted by Mr. Skalski. It wasn't he didn't try to diminish it, he didn't try to help. He sat back and said, hey, I told him to go, and it was up to them.
So there the prior trial, the kind of dissolution, the children all expressed their views as to where they felt most comfortable residing, and that hadn't changed at the time of the modification trial. So is it your best argument that it's the relationship that has changed in terms of between the children and the mother?
Yes. However, the youngest child, Ethan, seemed at the first child to be reluctant to take a position, and he was much more in tune with what he wanted, and that was to spend that more time with his mom. So I do believe that his desires have changed, certainly.
Didn't your client take the position then that with respect to the oldest child, say, she's not pushing on the issue of a modification of custody with respect to her? So where's that leave us in terms of splitting up the children?
Well, at this point, there's not much to split. They graduated and she's going to college. So we have two boys. And we have two boys who have, as best I can describe it, as my client has had to work very hard on creating a delicate approach, because she has seen what is happening with the older civic. And when you push too far, I mean, you know, people have asked, why didn't you call law enforcement to enforce visitation? What's going to happen if she calls law enforcement to pick up her 16 or 17 year old daughter? That's not going to go over well, and it's also going to be viewed by the other children. So it's delicate, and there is no longer the issue of a split in custody. And in this particular case, I will also say that a split custody would have been okay because, quite frankly, the older sibling has had a direct impact on the picture in the family and what it looks like to have a relationship with mom. What to decide, you don't have to, because it's easier getting along at home.
Changing gears for just a moment before you would run out of time. You raised a fine and a bear regarding your process and realizing that your motion to vacate has not been ruled upon. Can we address that on this appeal? Could you process our claim?
Yes, talk about another conundrum. So at that time, I did not have any idea that the court had received an ex parte affidavit from Mr. Schultz's girlfriend, just prior to trial. That was not brought to us before the court. So we end up literally finding out almost on the eve of having to file our deadline. So we were faced with if we don't file a notice of appeal, we run out of tolling that time and getting to argue the case on the merits. Whereas if by filing it, quite frankly, by filing it first, I believe the court could have ruled on it because it was still his order.
But would have had to rule upon it prior to the notice of appeal.
Correct. And it was an impossible decision.
Right. And so, understanding that background, that question still remains. Can we address the due process argument at this time in this appeal, where there hasn't been a ruling on the motion? We don't really know what was in the trial judge's mind or anything like that, right?
Correct. We don't. And so I guess on that point, it would be for the court to determine whether there should have been, and that's the problem, whether there should have been subpoenas, whether I could have subpoenaed another witness to testify. We are faced with. I understand your question, and I understand
your situation.
It was too late at the point in time when you found out about that issue.
Yes.
It was too late to file a motion for trial, exactly.
Correct, yes. The mandate has clearly run. So when we could ask the court to vacate its order, if we had not filed a notice of appeal and just gone with the issue, if the court had ruled against us, we could appeal that procedural issue, but still not get heard on the merits of the case. Which was the ultimate problem. So ultimately, I understand that, again, I know, and I wax on quite a bit in my brief, but the facts are clear in what changed from the divorce until we went to trial again. And I have not, and because of family law, I have not seen the kind of deterioration in the relationship with not much that my client could do other than asking for help.
You know, it's a difficult situation, though. If the mom isn't able to fix that relationship, what is dad supposed to do with this?
And I'm glad you asked that question because I'm not asking. You weren't asking that dad fix the relationship. We were first and foremost asking that we recognize that we didn't help it. Probably made it worse. Seemed to embrace that the children didn't want to go over and have any time in that life. That he wanted this life for the children, and that was not only secondary but just almost irrelevant. And that doesn't mean that he can fix it, means that he doesn't stand and deal with it. And that is what he did when he was set up times that he'd be out of town and he couldn't stay with her. And then, oh, by the way, the kids are staying with my girlfriend, and I love that for them. In fact, I would argue that that's not parenting on his behalf. That is letting the kids rule the household. And then the benefit that we receive for the kids sitting by choosing, again, his life for time.
Does the decree require, is there a first right of refusal in the decree?
All I have is the other questions. Not at this time, not thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I represent Mr. Slosky, and I told Judge Ferguson to come in hear my argument, because I have to argue what a wonderful job he did as far as custody and how he really messed up as far as I was and I'm going to spend most of my time with it.
Oh, sorry.
We'll give you the green light here in a second.
All right. I spend most of my time talking about alimony. Just to comment on what has been said, this situation isn't a huge happening to us. Divorces all the time, that one parent gets alienated. This is, as we address the custody issue, this is the second appeal. In the first appeal, the decision of the court was three children born of the marriage. It's clear from the evidence that each party is spent, but then he placed the custody with the father, subject to visitation, put a restriction on their so far outside, then they don't get the extra day. But if they move in, well, at the time they moved in, she actually was getting that extra time. And so the court sent it back down and Judge Birch referred that. Then on appeal, on there, as far as Sage testified, she completed the freshman year of school. And ask first to be for mom or dad to have custody. The response was, listen to Cameron, referred to them with her father.
And she also expressed that she would visit her mother.
There were problems at that time. There were problems before the divorce. And there were problems before her mother abandoned the kids, moved out with her boyfriend, and didn't see the kids. There were real problems. For all the kids. And the two older ones were affected more. The little guy loved his mom. Liked to spend as much time as he could. But when it came to that, what he said was he didn't express his preference which parent that he wants to live with. He even stated when he's with his dad, he misses his mom. His dad sleeps with him 4 days, makes him feel better. He stated he loves both his brother and sister.
That was at the time of the trial, the initial trial.
That was the original.
And then what was Ethan's position at the time of the modification?
I've got that. They did another in-camera interview. And I give you Sage, if you want
to. The youngest child, my recollection is he expressed a desire to spend my whole time with his parents.
Ethan Saucy, 12 years old, done with hearing, and 6th grade. In his grade, testimony 5, 8, 52. Ethan stated that he doesn't like the current visitation schedule because he doesn't get to see his mother as much. He also stated that sometimes things are okay with his father and other times they aren't. When asked what kind of things are okay, and it was that his mom does this one and his father does. I could read all of this.
No, that's not necessary.
was there a request for a modification of the parenting time by mom, or was it simply a request for a modification of custody?
Modification of custody, and then an alternative, she went split custody. Of course, this the courts of rule works about split custody in the best interest of the children, and there's all kinds of law about that. I was going to move on to alimony.
Sure.
If you have any more questions on I think it's pretty clear cut. The kids express their interest. There's no showing of change of circumstances, and it appears that there's best interest the kids continue to be with their father. Now, the interesting thing comes from the alimony form. And we brought it up, in first, and in the court's first, I think it was like $950 a month, for 60 months, and then it goes down to $400 a month. And so at the time of the second modification, as to alimony, and I think the really supporting cases are else, alimony be modified or revoked for good cause. The Bachelorette, Section 42-65, cohabitation of the receiving spouse, together with a showing of an arrangement between the spouse's financial condition, may provide a basis for modification of alimony.
And isn't it the second prong that the trial judge found was not proven?
It was.
Proven in her financial condition.
Yeah, he says, Judge Burke says it didn't prove her financial condition. But I can tell you the exhibits that I offered, I think, show exactly the opposite. The first exhibit I offered was an appraisal on a home. And the home was in both their names. And so it's a joint ownership of the home. When her name was on it, there was $32,000 worth of equity in the home. Before, and she didn't love it with this man, she didn't own a home, she didn't have a home, paying rent,
Who paid the down payment to create the equity in the home?
He did.
Do we know anything about their arrangement with respect to that down payment?
I have no idea. But then they buy a vehicle together, and offered the insurance card. And the insurance card showed Matt Hughes works for Melissa Slosky. I then offered an exhibit that showed their checking account. Matt Hughes works for Melissa Slosky. I then offered an exhibit showing their Verizon. And this is important because the Verizon account is Melissa Slosky's name. She didn't have enough money, doesn't work full time. She only, testified she only gets $800 a month for imputed $1,200 for child support. She's got five phones in her name. Take a look at that exhibit. Her phone, his phone, his kid's phone. She provided phone for all of his children.
Do we have to make the payment on the bill?
We testified as that going a little bit, and sometimes she says he pays, sometimes I pay a mortgage. She says sometimes I pay $200, sometimes I pay $1,000. And you can see in the upper depth, it just keeps going on exhibits that show, I know we're not a common law state, but we're not a common law, they're married. And if they just went through a ceremony, That's the only difference.
Then Alamo.
Alamo and Eternal. It wouldn't improve her financial condition. It is what it is. But she's increased her standard of living substantially. And I think the court needs to take a look at that. I've got a minute, but the court can look at it. And the record has the whole thing.
Any other further questions?
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
How much time is remaining for the appellant?
53 seconds.
I didn't address the appellant in my brief. I'm simply because the court options seem so forward. Cohabitation is not a reason to become the alimony in this particular case. I don't think it will take much for the court to perceive that my client would have tax liens of $8,000 and has a family home in a small town that has not changed from the town that I want to prove. I certainly agree that the court made the correct decision in not finding the court change to the financial circumstances. And certainly unless the treatment is done. And by the way, with respect to the house, it's not just worked out. Put a down payment on. Clearly, he traced that those funds out. Those were from his private separate funds to make them so any equity in the house was literally all of them.
Further questions? Thank you. Thank you both. Your statements.